Hello, welcome back. Although, I mean, it's not like you went anywhere. I don't know that we went anywhere. It's not like Derek and I just sit right here inside this studio, and now we're welcoming you back in after a week. But my name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. It is the incredibly creatively and appropriately named Query and Schultz program here on ISC. And Derek, this is kind of, we're in April, but it feels kind of like April, July and April. Because in July is when, from a sports talk standpoint, is when you feel like you kind of hit this lull. It's not that we're in a lull, but coming off of so much that's been going on, especially with the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
And now, I mean, sure, you had the Masters, and then you're getting set for the NFL draft. But it just feels like for the first time in a while, we don't have like that oomph, oh my goodness, yeah, stuff going on.
There is a lull.
Which is really a great way to start the show. Hi. we're not going to do that. We have a good show lined up, but still.
It's not a national sports lull. There's lots going on nationally, but here locally, and by the way, we're taping this in central Indiana, and the show is based out of Indianapolis, where both Jake and I reside, both Midtown residents, in fact, in Indianapolis.
Nobody says Midtown.
But we have a global audience, so you know, I know that may be a little bit strange.
I'd like to know, where's the furthest away that someone is watching?
We had Ben in Bangladesh, who used to email the show a lot.
Ben?
Yes.
In Bangladesh.
Used to email the show all the time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Asking for wire
transfers. He was
transfers.
Always asking if we could give recommendations for that flooded basement place.
That's right.
The restoration place.
That's what he wanted. Yeah. What is
right.
It? Yeah. Every cult ever had used that one.
That's
yes.
Right.
But yeah, here in Indiana, Jake, it's a football and basketball town. So the Colts are out of season. IU and Purdue are now out of season. And yes, the Pacers are still technically in season, but we've talked about just the general apathy about this year's Pacers. So I think that's why it just feels like it's kind of a lull. The Pacers aren't going anywhere this season. College basketball is concluded. The Colts draft stuff and things like that will always pick up. I mean, the Colts in the NFL 24/7, 365. But you're right. In the radio show days, I always kind of felt like right after college basketball, we just kind of hit a little bit of a dead period.
Okay, let's begin with, and yes, the Masters, you know, is completed, a historic win at Augusta. But let's begin with the NFL and talk about the Colts, because that's always topic A. But yet, it's an offseason where the Colts have not necessarily been topic A, B, or C, realistically speaking, in the NFL. Derek, are you concerned that when it came to free agency and it came to trades and things like that, moving up into the draft, that the Colts have been radio silent?
No. I'm not. I'm not surprised. I'm not disappointed. I'm not angry. I get it. I get that people want flash and pizzazz and wow. I mean, I live that. That's who I am. Is yes. All three of those things.
Okay.
So when the Colts don't deliver that, you can understand why.
Would you say
people
that you
are upset
more
about
flash, them. Pizzazz, or wow?
Oh, God, that's an impossible question to answer. 1A, 1B, 1. I mean, I'm trying to think of even, you know, how I would separate those three things. They
which
encapsulate
would you say,
so much of who I am.
Would you say that I am more flash, pizzazz, or wow?
Probably none of those really.
I
think you've got a little bit of a wow factor with what you do with IndyCar. I think people think that that's impressive.
Okay.
Your
wow factor comes from where?
Oh, the whole package. Wow, the look, like, you know, my build, my
okay.
My facial
you know,
features.
Somebody the other day referred
things.
Somebody the other day in talking about you to me referred to you as short and husky.
Who said that? Female or male?
Male.
Okay. Female, then I'd be a little bit. No, I'm a happily married person, but I'm, you know, husky almost, you know, that's not what you want people to say. Broad? That'd be a good one.
Okay.
Like thick neck, I've heard before.
Thick neck?
Yeah, like you have a thick neck.
People call you thick
no,
neck?
No, people don't is call that me that thick neck, neck, but people say
hi,
that I have a thick neck.
Hi, I'm Jake Query, along
is,
with thick neck.
Pretty thick.
This is the Query and Thick Neck program, and you're watching
thick.
It here on ISC.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. How long has Chris Ballard been the general manager of the Colts?
Started in the 2017 season.
So this is season number what for
this
Chris
will be,
Ballard?
If you can believe it, this will be season 5.
Okay, here is my question.
Which is how long Grigson lasted, right, if I'm not mistaken? 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, fired? Yeah, and then
okay.
Pagano lasted 6.
So my question on Ballard is this, or my observation on Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard is the classic example of the way you present yourself goes a long way in the way you are perceived by others. He's a nice looking guy. He dresses well. He's got
that Southern drawl thing.
He comes off with a Southern drawl that's kind of a combination of aw shucks and a quiet confidence about him. Mm-hmm. He's got kind of cool hair.
He's got great hair.
You know?
Yeah.
He has a plan.
He looks like he has a plan.
He's patient. He has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you get to have the plan?
Before there are results from the plan?
Right.
This kind of reminds me.
In all honesty, nothing against Chris Ballard, because I do have a confidence in him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been there 5 years now, and the Colts have not been terrible. But have they been measurably great? I know that there are difficulties that he had to endure. The McDaniels backing out on, but let's not forget, McDaniels was his call. So you can't say, well, you know, Chris Ballard, I mean, Josh McDaniels walked on him. Whoever would have expected that? That was the guy that he picked that he felt was the character he wanted to lead the Colts. It didn't work out, so Frank Wright comes in. Andrew Luck retiring, I get it. But you've had now, you know, what, 3 years since then?
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do we quit talking about a blueprint and start talking about an architect?
Now. You know, the answer is now. What I was going to say was, it kind of reminds me of, remember for many years, and this was your thing, where people would talk about how great Andrew Luck was, and then you were like, well, what is it? Like, give me something that makes him great. And people would say, you know, in generalities,
right,
well,
right,
he's got the it factor, or you know, whatever else. And it's kind of the same thing with Ballard. You talk about how great he is all the time, and then you look at the actual track record of success. And I'm not the kind of guy that's like, well, wins and losses, and this is his record. You know, Ryan Grigson's record was great. That doesn't mean that he was a great executive. You know, there are things that kind of go into that are outside of the general manager's control. But this is the year. It's kind of put up
but
or
this
shut
is
up
the
time.
Year in terms of what? In terms of they need to start making moves for their roster long term, or they need to start winning playoff games?
They need to start winning playoff games. Not that if he flops, he gets fired. I don't mean it like that. This isn't a hot seat year for Ballard, but this is now, okay, you have everything in place. You have the quarterback, at least you think you do. You say you do, and Carson Wentz. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do something. Let's go somewhere. They've won one playoff game, and that was the 2018 season. They've been to two playoff seasons in those 4 years, which, whatever, in the grand scheme of things is fine.
He has had. The reality is this. Chris Ballard has had plenty of time and resources to build a roster for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they have a quarterback, there shouldn't be any areas where they still need to build, because they've been building for 4 years now, right?
No, and the roster is good.
It is.
I think people overrate the roster, but I think it is good. I don't think it's like some otherworldly elite roster, especially considering that they don't have a left tackle and they really lack playmakers on offense. Like, you know, Nyheim Hines is a nice kind of gadgety sort
he
of
is.
Player. Maybe Jonathan Taylor will be a keep you up at night player, but they don't have any of those guys at wide receiver or tight end or anything like that.
I think
look around the league and you have prolific playmakers with contending teams.
I think Pittman could be that guy if he's healthy, right?
I hope.
T.Y. Hilton is
he's on the downside
starting to
now.
Slow down,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
They could use probably – look, Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox are both nice tight ends. I don't know that they have a bruising Doyle in year two level guy. You know what I mean?
Well, I'd rather have a dynamic – I'd rather have an Eric Ebron who actually catches the ball type tight end, because I think that – in Frank Reich's offense, I think a tight end like that would flourish.
But the question is, in an offseason where there has not been a lot of news with the Colts, Derek, has no news been good news?
You know, this is going to sound like a comment. It's not really good or bad news. It's what I expected. Like, I just didn't – I didn't think that the Colts are going to go out there and throw a bunch of money at free agency. They dabbled a little bit. The only – departure that surprised me was DeNico Autry. I really thought they were going to try to keep him, and it sounds like they did, but just didn't try enough. If anything, Jake, I'm surprised with who they kept, because if you were to ask me going into the offseason, hey, Derek, you know, what do you think about who are definitely gone? I would have had Xavier Rhodes, Marlon Mack, and T.Y. Hilton on that
list. I would have had Marlon Mack number one.
I would have had all three of those guys gone.
Right.
But this was the kind of market. And maybe in a normal circumstance, Xavier Rhodes gets paid elsewhere and T.Y. Hilton gets paid a lot elsewhere. But this was not obviously a normal offseason for
those
guys.
You know, Xavier's a cool name for a kid.
It's great. You call him X?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to name your kid after a...
R.I.P. DMX, by the way. That was sad.
What's that? Oh,
DMX passed away.
I saw that, yeah.
Many refer to him as X.
If you had to name your child after a mid-level college basketball program, I realize now Xavier is a big-time program, but who would you pick? Creighton?
What other... well, yeah, I guess Creighton is a name, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, any name can be a name.
Yeah,
Drake?
It's 2021. People name their kids all kinds of stupid crap.
Duke?
No, I've never liked Duke as a name. That's a pet name to me. Like, my dog's name is
okay,
Duke.
Fair enough.
Like, that's not a kid's name.
Baylor?
Either. No, I don't think that would work either. I think of Don Baylor, the
Rice?
Great Don Baylor. Name your kid after Rice? Yeah. Are you serious?
King Rice. You remember King Rice, the point guard in North Carolina? Love that name. He's a coach now.
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Nah.
I just think it'd be a cool name.
Well, you're saying mid-level. Baylor's not a mid-level college basketball
program. I get
that.
And
they're the reigning national champion right now. You know, there's been a trend lately of, like, last names becoming popular first names. So maybe Butler someday will be a name for somebody.
Butler Schultz?
Butler Kensington. You know, like, give him, like, a country club sort of a name. Yeah.
When we worked at the radio station together, a lot of people would ask me, they referred to you as Butler Schultz because you did so many errands and things like that. I mean, I don't know if you knew that that's what people would call you, but they'd say, hey, where's your Butler?
Two-time national runner-up, now part of the Big East. Okay. Gordon Hayward, Shelvin Mack, plenty of NBA
players. By the
way,
you've got a – is that – did you brush your teeth this morning? You got a little – over here, left side. Yeah, right in there.
Oh, I think it's just my lips get dried out a little bit, and I didn't put chapstick on this morning. No, I'm not putting your chapstick on my lips.
Here.
Sorry
it said Burt. It said Burt's Beeswax. You want some?
No, I don't want to use your lip balm. That's disgusting. I think it's just dry skin. Sorry.
Okay.
I know we have these state of the art HD cameras that probably pick up.
What all do we have to get to today?
We have more, just some cult stuff to touch on. You know, I saw some interesting conversations happening on Twitter. Colts Twitter, that is. I don't know if you've ever gone down the rabbit hole of Colts Twitter. It's a very interesting place.
It is.
About Carson Wentz and expectations, which I would like to touch on.
Did it have people putting the little video from All 22 that's like made to look like film? They take just regular plays off the telecast and then grain it out so it looks like film. Now watch the pull here of the right guard and the lateral movement and the way that the ankle swivel is
some of that to me is a little bit eye roll. But then again, you know, fans are educating themselves. Fans are more educated than they've ever been.
I don't disagree with that.
In 2021 compared to like 1981. So we'll get into that. Indiana's transfer portal, they may still add a player, but their in-house one is over now. We know Armon Franklin is moving on to Virginia. Race Thompson is coming back. So I think all in all, Mike Woodson's done a pretty good job his first week and a half, however long it's been now on the job. So we'll talk about that. Ditto for Purdue. And they still have a scholarship open if they want to use that in the transfer portal and kind of their season outlook for next year as we sort of tie a bow on the 2021 college basketball season. Pacers are playing well. They're beating on bad teams. Memphis isn't a bad team, but some of the other teams that they beat this past week are terrible.
But you have to beat the bad teams, Derek. If you want to turn things around, when you have games that you're supposed to win, you got to go
win.
But
that's the Pacers' whole MO. They'll never be bad enough to lose to those teams, and that's what's frustrating
some
people.
The Pacers,
you know what I mean?
By the way, let me tell everybody right now what's going to happen here with Derek. The Pacers are going to screw around and absolutely devastate Derek because they're going to mess around and get into the playoffs as an 8 seed.
Yeah, 100% they are. And they're going to get swept. Yeah, they're going to lose in the first round for the 700th year in a row.
And then they're going to draft 16th.
It's just, you know.
That's exactly what they're going to do, right?
It's just so frustrating.
They're going to draft 16th, and they're going to take Drew Timmy out of Gonzaga, who most think should be a second rounder.
Or that Kispert kid. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That perfectly fits what the Pacers want to do. And we'll also talk about Matsuyama and the Masters win and what that could mean for golf. Some saying that it's the most impactful major championship win for the sport since Tiger broke through in 97.
Could.
Which is interesting. And I think there's almost a tie-in with motorsports as well. And I'm not just saying that because of, you know, Takuma Sato and now you have Hideki with the win and both champions are reigning Japanese men. But I thought we'd jump into that. And then Biter Bowl Bleep, all our usual features, American Dairy Association of Indiana Winners Drink Milk. Love that play from Love HVAC. So we got a lot to get to today, even though this is a lull period. And, you know, we don't really have anything to talk about. Welcome to the show. I don't know why you're listening.
We'll talk more about Derek's
crappy open.
Did you want to borrow this?
It's a really crappy open. We'll get that in post. We'll airbrush that.
We do a lot in post.
And get all that.
Okay.
There, I got it, I think.
Did you get it?
Okay. Yeah, it's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network.
We're a different breed, aren't we? While others rest, we choose to work. Where others are content, we stay hungry. They may not see us coming, but we know exactly where we're going. You won't rest until you succeed. Neither will we.
You can't get enough of us.
You can't get enough of us. Good one, J-Man.
This is the worst scandal.
This is worse than steroid. Not so fast.
Are you going to watch the XFL?
I'll probably watch a little bit of it.
You want to go through and pick some games?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Oh my God!
We are ripping fast today.
And how hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
Act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
Rolling right along here on another edition of Query and Schultz.
Rolling right along.
I'm Derek Schultz. That's Jake Query, who always interrupts me when I come back, even though I never interrupt him when he does the comebacks.
I'll tell you this. Burt's Bees chapstick is fabulous.
I'm not going to use your lip balm, dude.
I'm not.
With COVID and all that stuff, like, I'm not.
That probably is not a good idea, right?
I wouldn't do that under normal circumstances, but I'm definitely not going to do that now. I've got shot number two coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Which one did you do?
I did Pfizer.
Okay.
Yep. I think I did Pfizer, the one at IU Health.
I want to know this. I did the Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So after I did the Johnson & Johnson, of course, then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Should I have done more of that? What happens now if I go and get the Moderna after the Johnson & Johnson?
Don't. Yeah,
is that
you're good.
ODing?
No, probably not, but you're good. You'll be fine.
You think so?
Don't worry about that. Yeah, I'd worry about the ticker more than anything else, considering your history there.
Thanks.
This portion of the show brought to you by...
It has not yet been 6 months, and Derek's already making jokes about it. Oh, yeah, sorry that you almost died, it's been 6 months, so we're going to make jokes about it.
If you can't laugh at it, what are we even doing here, right?
The ticker. He calls it the ticker.
This portion of Query and Schultz brought to you by a new sponsor, Chateau Kitchens. They've been out to my house, and they did a magnificent job with my kitchen. It's funny because we were driving. Their office is on Carmel Drive, and they have this beautiful building. And they, as you can see, they have this very impressive-looking logo.
Yes.
And we're driving by, and my wife says, hey, I've heard great things about Chateau Kitchens. We should do that. And I'm thinking to myself, honey, we can't afford this. Look at how beautiful the logo is in the building and everything like that. And they gave us a very competitive quote. They did an amazing job.
Your Steven kitchen and Bob, does look great.
Yeah, the owner's father-son team. Stevens was a big fan of the radio show and still is a big fan of the reincarnation of the show. Victoria was our designer, and we kind of gave her a couple of ideas, and she fine-tuned those. Ryan was our project manager. Everybody involved just did an amazing job. It took about 5 or 6 weeks. But it was a big, you know what I mean? It was a big project, and their crews couldn't have been nicer. All of the people that they contracted out,
most importantly,
did wonderful work.
You said pretty reasonably priced, right?
Oh, 100%, especially considering the top line that of work that they ended up doing. So you can check them out online, ChateauKitchens.com. Also, if you want to kind of get a preview of what could happen to your kitchen, they post a lot of their transformations on Instagram, at Chateau Kitchens, and on Facebook, also at Chateau Kitchens, if you want to check them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Happy to have them on board. We appreciate it.
100%.
In talking about remodeling, Indiana basketball has remodeled a little bit, Derek. People are super giddy about the transfer portal, and we could do an entire show on that alone, the transfer portal and players. Listen, I'm an old guy, okay? I'm so old, I was a student at Indiana back when, like, Sweet 16s were expected year in and year out.
That's pretty old.
I know. And I understand, I totally get it, when people are like, this transfer portal's ruining college basketball. This year's a little bit of a different story because of COVID and what's being allowed. But look, Derek, when I was in college, I started my freshman year at the University of Kansas. It was a total disaster. I was homesick. I wasn't focused. A million things went wrong. I came home. I went to IUPUI for a semester and then transferred to Indiana Bloomington. So you could technically say that's the same school. It's not. It's two different schools, whatever. So I went to three schools in 18 months. Nobody said a word about it.
Of course not.
It's what I needed to do. It was the best situation for me. That's what I did. So why do we have a problem with it when a player goes to three schools in 18 months? Who cares?
I guess my question to people is, how does it impact your life?
Right.
Why does it matter? Well, you should gut it out because adversity is part of life. It's still not your life. I still don't understand why we need to, and this is going to be my soapbox moment, we need to get past in this country worrying about what other people do with their lives and choices that they make. And just live and let live.
Well,
we would be in a lot better place if we would just stop trying to police what everybody else does.
I'm going to contradict you here, though, by mentioning what other people do with their lives and how this all comes into play. I see a lot of people that are like, these kids transferring and leaving schools, and it's ruining college basketball, and it's a way, and why are they doing this? They're just doing it because they're not getting the playing time they want, and to your point, they're soft and they're thin-skinned, and so they're chasing a better situation instead of manning up and working hard and pulling up their bootstraps. Or it could be that while someone is going off on something like that, those are the same people that then are turning around when a 16-year-old's like, here's my final 10 schools, and immediately they're tweeting
to that
kid.
Yeah.
Hoosiers, or, boiler up, or can't wait to see you in Tallahassee or whatever it might be. A big part of this transfer portal, Derek, is kids that are juniors in college that realize they're a year and a half away from the real world where suddenly they go working in an accounting firm in Boise and nobody really cares about their college basketball career. So they have one chance left for all of that again. You look at this kid that announced that he's coming to Indiana that was a point guard at Pitt.
Yeah, Xavier Johnson.
10-12 Pitt. He's the point guard. He announces he's going to Indiana, and when he gets down to, like, his final four schools, I can't remember what the other three were.
Baylor, Houston. It was actually pretty good company.
It
and
was.
I think St. Joseph's was the other one.
But every one of those schools, that fan base is sending him tweets and sending him love and singing songs for him and whatever
yeah,
else.
Sure.
And he's right back to it. So if you want to know why these kids are, I say kids, young adults, why they're transferring schools, it's because you are genuflecting over 16-year-olds, and they want one last piece of the pie. They want that attention.
Well, some kids are like that.
Of course. I mean, it's a big part
of
it. Now, for Indiana, this is what kills me about people getting so geeked about, let's go with the transfer portal. What was Indiana's record this year?
12-15.
Okay. Who were their three leading scorers?
Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin. Was Race Thompson third?
Race Thompson, or I was
or
thinking.
Or Al Durham was probably third. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So, Trace Jackson Davis is back. Wonderful player, don't get me wrong. Al Durham transferring.
Yeah, which he was going to go no matter what.
I
don't even really count that one.
But, I mean, okay. Armon Franklin going to Virginia.
Yep. UVA.
Wonderful for him, by the way. Nothing against Indiana. You've got an opportunity to get yourself an education and a degree from the University of Virginia.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
It's a great program, too.
I think Franklin realized he's probably not an NBA player. So if you've got a chance to get a degree from one of the great public institutions in this country, you do it.
Oh, I mean, if things really broke right, I think he has some skills where he could be a pro. I think he's got a long way to go.
He could be a pro, but I don't know about NBA.
He's got a long way to go. I wouldn't write off him being an NBA player.
I don't know that he's big enough. But regardless, in going to a school that won a national title,
Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So, anyway, so Indiana, three games under 500, you subtract two of your three leading scorers, and you replace him with a point guard who was on a 10-12 team in a historically bad ACC. And people like are saying, well, let's Final Four, let's go.
Well, you know, the problem, Jake, you know this, the last era.
I realize the coaching change is a big part of that.
A lot of people, I think, mistook it was overblown that Tom Crean's biggest issue at Indiana was the fact he wasn't keeping kids in state. That wasn't the biggest problem for Tom Crean. The biggest problem for Tom Crean was the attrition, where you weren't getting guys to stay in the program 3 or 4 years. Remember, guys were leaving all the time.
Right.
And that was a big issue. I think what Indiana fans are thinking why they're hopeful is because Race Thompson has been in the program now for a lot of years.
I like Race Thompson.
And some of these other players, you know, Christian Lander's only been in the program for 1 year, but at least he's sticking around, and they've already had their foot in the door. I think for college basketball success, that's as important as anything else, is just experience. And Xavier Johnson, yes, will be a new addition, but he's a 3-year starter from a major program. Yes, they've struggled, and Pitt basketball really has fallen off the map.
I mean,
remember 10 years ago, Pitt basketball was great. And now, God, I can't even remember the last time I watched a Pitt basketball game. But he has a lot of experience. And I think, you know, Final Four and stuff like that is absolutely ridiculous. But can Indiana be an NCAA tournament team or a second weekend team? Yeah, they should, on paper.
I would agree with that. And look, a lot of it is people are excited to see what Mike Woodson does from an X's and O's standpoint. I think, I go back to at the point guard position, I think now they're going to open it up. I mean, I think they're going to play a faster pace. I think they're going to try to play at a pace that takes other teams out of their rhythm. That's going to be what they try to do. You mentioned Pitt. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, Pitt's chief recruiting assistant was John Calipari. They had Jerome Lane, Charles Smith.
Send it in, Jerome.
Sean Miller was their point guard. They were ranked number one when I was a freshman in high school. They were like an it thing, right? And now it's like Pitt basketball, really? Give me something. I want to know something that was besides your backwards visor.
Upside down.
Upside down.
Yeah, you got to add that in too.
Give me something.
Backwards and upside down, sorry.
That was like all the rage when you were younger that you're like, how or why did we wear that?
Oh, like fashion-wise?
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. Or they just completely disappeared. Swatch watches.
Yeah.
I've mentioned Swatch watches before. Everyone had a Swatch watch.
You know what everybody wore when I was growing up was some sort of like hemp necklace or like beaded. Like you never see dudes wearing
the little puka shells?
Yeah, any of that stuff anymore. I mean, I had like a necklace thing that I always wore.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Well, I had hemp partly. And then I had a hemp necklace, and then I had like a beaded one that I wore as well.
The hemp necklace, just like a rope?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but it was handmade.
Where did you get that?
A buddy of mine. would make hemp necklaces, yeah.
Where did he get the hemp?
I don't know. He had a whole bunch of it in his van, and then he made the necklaces, I think, in the van.
He had hemp in his van?
Yeah.
Now, did he grow the hemp?
I don't think so. I think he got it from another friend that grew the hemp.
So somebody else
like up near UConn, I think they were growing hemp, and he would go up there and get it.
Like in Alaska?
Well, that was the only like farmland.
The UConn Peninsula, or what?
I grew up in heavy population dense
to get from the UConn
University
Peninsula.
Of Connecticut.
Okay.
Heavy population dense suburban Connecticut, so you'd have to go out a little bit to get into like farm country, and I think that's where he got it from on the northern part of the state.
So you had a buddy that was growing pot plants to make
Well,
necklaces.
He had a van, and he'd go around to fish shows and all that. And then, he had other things that he made that involved other
Is this fellow still in Connecticut?
He was a talented glassmaker as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
what would he make with the glass?
Just all kinds of
ceramics?
Things. Yeah, okay. Just, you know, nothing real specific with the glass, but he made things that were
Where is he now?
Glass. No one really knows. Yeah, no one really knows what happened to him.
He went on vacation for a while.
Yeah, we're not really sure. We think he might still be in the tri-state area, but we don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if you go to a Deep Banana Blackout show, you'll find him.
He loved Deep Banana Blackout.
I'm sure he did.
It's great.
I'm sure he did.
Great band, DBB.
Purdue basketball, by the way, the student tickets for the upcoming season for the Paint Crew sold out in 45 minutes.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
And, I mean, you can bet, like, Purdue – you know, we talk about Indiana and the optimism that you always have optimism when there's change, right? Guarded optimism, but optimism. In Purdue's case, there's optimism, legitimately speaking, because I think
Oh yeah,
the footprint's there for.
They're I think a no-brainer preseason top 10 team. They might even be a preseason top 5 team. And it'll be interesting to see if Painter uses that scout. You know, Aaron Wheeler's moving back to St. John's, and he's an East Coast guy. And I think his dad, if I'm not mistaken, played collegiately at like Fordham or somewhere in New York. Remember he was telling us about that?
Yes.
I don't remember which specific college that he played for.
I think it was. Was it
Fordham?
It might have been Fordham.
Okay. It was one of, I feel like it was one of the city schools. But anyway, that frees up a spot. So they could add somebody from the transfer
Wheeler
portal.
Wheeler is one, Derek, that I just, nice guy. I think everybody felt like he was really going to be somebody that took a big step for Purdue
and
between
just
his
never
freshman
happened.
And sophomore year. Just never happened.
It never happened.
He
but,
showed you
but
flashes,
you know what?
But it never happened.
He was in the program for 4 years. Last year, it was clear that his role was lessened, and he stuck it out. You know what I mean? That's what people complain about, right? Well, adversity and Aaron Wheeler could have left, and he didn't. He gave him 4 years. I think that's perfectly fine, and now he wants to be closer to family and have a role. He knew that he was going to get no minutes next year.
Where was it that Al Durham decided to go?
Has he made that decision yet?
I thought he had.
Let me look.
Was it Virginia Tech?
Al
Why am I thinking
Durham?
That?
I don't remember seeing it, but then again,
has
I wasn't exactly
has
following.
He put out. He hasn't tweeted out his final five.
Oh, Providence. I think I did see that actually. Yeah. So both of those, Wheeler and Durham.
Headed back out east,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But regardless, I think next year, you know, Indiana's going to be – you have a better idea where Purdue is going to be. Indiana is going to be perhaps the more intriguing storyline, and I feel bad for Purdue in that regard because Purdue is going to be really good.
Well,
but
see –
there's going to be a lot of chatter about Indiana.
There's going to be – there's always a lot of chatter about Indiana. I think where the intrigue comes in with Purdue is that is this finally going to be the team that kind of shatters the glass ceiling for Purdue men's basketball? And I'm not just talking under Matt Painter. I'm talking about the last 40 years of Purdue basketball. Because it's really pretty incredible, Jake, when you think about it, that A, they've never had a number one team, considering all the success that they've – you know, they've never had a number one team, ever.
They've never been ranked number one?
They have never been ranked number one.
The 88 team got to number two. Did they never get to number
one?
No. Okay.
And the second thing, they've been to two Final Fours ever and none since 80. You would think that accidentally they would have been to a Final Four with some of the good teams that they had since then. And people want to beat Purdue up because Gene Cady, why does he only play 14 holes of golf? Because, you know.
I've never heard that joke. What's the punchline?
Yeah. Because he couldn't find the Final Four. The thing is that when I was 13, like, I loved that joke. You know what I mean? Because I loved taking pot shots at Purdue. But now I've become, like, Purdue defender guy.
Right.
But this could be the team, Jake, that really breaks through. I mean, it should have been the 2019 team.
Have you seen Gene Cady golf? He's got a very interesting golf swing.
Should I look it up?
He's got an interesting golf swing. It's an angry golf swing.
Yeah. He's just – that guy's just a treasure.
I wouldn't say he's smooth.
I love Gene Cady.
Speaking of golf, I want to get to the Masters next, and we still have to get to our Love That Play.
Yep.
As well as our American Dairy Association of Indiana Winners Drink Milk and Beiter Bullschultz, right?
That's right.
Lots still to get to.
Going to do all of it on this lull show.
Can I go ahead?
I can't believe we have so much to talk about.
Can I cheat and drink my milk first?
Surprised how many people are actually watching and listening to this because Jake kind of cut our legs out right at the beginning. It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports
now
Network.
Now suddenly, I did myself first and now we're at the same height.
We are ripping fast today.
And how hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
Act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
You're watching Query and Schultz on the ISC Sports Network.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network. Thanks so much for joining us. Alongside Jake Query, I'm Derek Schultz. Did you watch the Masters?
You do still have your legs, by the way.
I do still have my legs, yeah. Did you watch the Masters at all?
I did, actually.
It was nice to have a regular Masters because we technically had one last year, but was it like September or something? It doesn't count.
That's what's kind of weird about these events now is you're like, wait a minute, didn't we just do this?
Yeah, and then you realize that, really we went through April and, flowers and azaleas and dulcet tones and the Masters, and we didn't really have the authentic Masters experience.
I had the Masters on while I was doing other stuff. And open disclaimer, Derek, nothing against it because I know it's massive, and especially, look, the Tiger Woods effect. I mean, I know how massively popular it's become. The idea of watching other guys golf to me is just kind of.
See, I like it when there's suspense and drama. It really is pretty addictive. But yesterday when Matsuyama didn't really falter through the first nine, I kind of felt. And I know that he had, the double bogey at 15 where he hit the water, but then right after that, Xander goes in the water, and that effectively ended whatever charge he was going to make. So it was a suspense-free, drama-free finish. But I still think, unlike some years where it's like Charles Schwartzel or somebody like that, you had a relevant winner because apparently, and I didn't even really know this until I watched a lot of the post-Masters conversation and saw it on social media, the sport is gigantic in Japan.
Well, and that's – I wanted to get to that. I remember, Derek, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, reading a fascinating column about – and look, golf maybe has been in Japan for hundreds of years. I don't know. I'm not saying that. But Japan, culturally speaking, we obviously know about from a business standpoint, the world leadership that can come out of Japan in many different areas and the business that takes place in Japan and, the automotive industry in Japan and the work ethic, quite frankly, culturally speaking, with the Japanese. And I read an article about 20 years ago about how there was kind of this growing concern with the Japanese over the fact that they're, and we certainly have seen this in the United States, that the longer a country goes with economic success, the more likely that future generations start to taper off with that drive and work ethic, right? Because they're growing up with everything they want, as opposed to seeing the example of hard work paying off, etc. And in Japan, this article that I was reading again, it was like 20 years ago, was talking about how golf was becoming so popular there. And while they loved it, there was some hesitation that they were becoming too
fascinated
with the leisure and the spoils of a successful business, empire that Japan has. Obviously, you see now that golf is massive in Japan. And again, maybe golf's been around for 200 years there. I don't know. I'm not saying that golf was invented in Japan in 1998. I mean, I'm not saying that. But look, you can bet this was a huge victory in the country of Japan. Somebody asked me, was it as big as Takuma Sato for the Japanese winning the Indy 500? It may be bigger because auto racing is huge in Japan, but from a Formula One standpoint, and Sato had success in Formula One, so they're used to seeing Sato's name in the headlines. To see a Japanese golfer winning the biggest golfing tournament in the United States and realistically, the biggest in the world then as a result of that has to be huge for them, right? And, I mean, he was, 25th in the world?
Yeah, he's a great player. Right. And he was 10 years ago the low amateur as an amateur player, obviously. So, a guy that has had a lot of talent that's been knocking on the door for a while for a win like this. But, not just in Japan, Jake, but just, we're starting to see the global reach of American sports, particularly in Asia, where we've talked a lot about basketball and the NBA.
Basketball's a big one, yep.
China and everywhere else. And not to paint with a broad brush here, but, not just with Japan, but just with that continent in general, you wonder what the impact could possibly be. Because, whenever you see someone, it's a lot like with Tiger Woods for young African Americans. When you see somebody that looks like you win an event like this, and how it resonates
correct
with you in, 20 years from now, are we going to see the next? It sounds like we've already maybe got a group of Japanese men that are going to kind of take charge. And we've seen it in the women's tour. I'm not going to pretend to be a women's golf expert, but was it South Korea? Don't they produce all kinds
several
of winners and phenomenal players in the women's sport?
In terms of our American Dairy Association winners drink milk, winner of the week. Derek, based on that conversation, I'm going to go with, is it too obvious?
No, I mean, Scott Drew was it last week, so sometimes it's the obvious answer.
Okay, so, and listen, I understand that winning the Green Jacket and winning the Masters is right there. That's the prize, right? But right there, right behind it, is to be the Querian Schultz American Dairy Association winner of the week.
You said that.
And my nominee is Hideki Matsuyama, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right.
For some reason, I have like a mental block with that. I want to say it's because I want to say Hideki Muto.
I feel like it's weird. I feel like the Japanese names are easier because we've had so much of a Japanese influence on Major League Baseball in the last 20, 30 years.
From the racing standpoint, when I say Hideki, naturally rolling off of my tongue is Hideki Muto.
Like I feel like I feel like my point is I can name a bunch of Hidekis that have factored into American sports now. Hideki Arabu, Hideki Matsui. I mean, we're just naming Yankees right now.
Who is your American Dairy Association of Indiana?
I'm actually going to stick with the
winners,
Masters.
Drink milk, winner of the week.
And I hope that I'm saying his name right. Will Zalatoris is 24 years old, and he's...
Did you get your milk facts?
Oh, no, I didn't. We need to get that. Where is it? Is it over here somewhere? He's participated in two majors, Jake, and he's finished in top 10 in both of them. He was the runner-up yesterday, and that's pretty darn good for a 24-year-old to do that. He was sixth place in the U.S. Open last year. And he also got Adam Sandler to tweet about him because he kind of looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy from Happy Gilmore.
The big fella?
No, that was the dude that had the nail in his head that you're thinking of, right? Not that guy.
Okay.
Yeah, the kid that had like the big hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And originally he takes Adam Sandler's golf bag and Sandler thinks he's getting robbed or something. And yeah, right. I watched Happy Gilmore a lot, but it does kind of look like that, but it's not the same kid.
Okay.
Yeah. Like insurance sales or something. Somebody tweeted it.
Who is?
The kid that the actor that was that kid.
It just fell off. You just flaked something off of your.
Can you not do that? Okay, I just have I just dry lip.
It fell off. It's in your.
No, it didn't. It didn't fall off.
It did.
No, nothing.
It's rather disgusting.
Nothing fell off.
By the way, the American Dairy Association of Indiana Winners Drink Milk winner of the week, who I'm sure are thrilled to be sponsoring this segment right now, also will be sponsoring the fastest rookie at the Indianapolis 500 upcoming in May, as they do because, of course, the winner of the Indy 500 always drinks their bottle of milk. A great post-workout drink like chocolate milk, which is what I'm having here. This has as much potassium as a banana and spinach, right?
Yeah, 10 cups of spinach.
Same amount of protein as a couple of hard-boiled eggs?
Two hard-boiled eggs.
Right.
Yes. It's good stuff. Thanks to American Dairy Association Indiana.
Loaded with calcium as well.
Great partners of ours. Speaking of not just the 500, but the IndyCar season, it opens up this weekend. We will get into that coming up a little bit later on today. We've got Pacers to talk about still. I think I wanted to mention the Carson Wentz thing. I think I'll do that. We still have a lot to touch on and a couple of more features to get to.
Just don't touch me.
We'll talk about this in the commercial break because I've got some things that I want to say to you that I'm not going to say on air.
Okay.
It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network.
Indiana Dairy Farm, long work days stretch into more labor after sunset. A newborn calf needs watching, barn needs cleaning, tractor needs some handiwork for tomorrow's tasks. Just like in your own home, the day's chores are never done until the family beds down for the night. Dairy farmers and their families share the same dream with all of us, that what we all do is worthwhile. Bringing to market pure, safe, and healthy dairy foods is what they do, from Indiana's dairy families to ours every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
We're a different breed, aren't we? While others rest, we choose to work. Where others are content, we stay hungry. They may not see us coming, but we know exactly where we're going. You won't rest until you succeed. Neither will we.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at ISCSportsNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz here on the ISC Sports Network. My name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. By the way, thanks as always to WGU Indiana. WGU is where you can continue your education online. Indiana's largest accredited online university. Whether or not you are just starting out that journey in terms of a secondary education, or perhaps you're wanting to finish up a degree, maybe making a career change, WGU is the place to do it. WGU, a new kind of university, WGU.edu. Just remember, ambition never rests, and you can make your own schedule. That's one of the great benefits of WGU.
Oh, God, they put full screen. Who did that back
That's
there?
That's beautiful.
Is that Greg Mash who
look
did
at,
that back
look
there?
Look at Sage's eyes.
Oh, my
that
God.
That is focus right there, buddy. That is like, focus.
I just kind of looked at the monitor because I wanted to see if I still had any dry skin, and then I see these soulless eyes kind of staring.
Not soulless at all.
Oh, my God.
Staring down at education is what they're doing at WGU.
That gave me chills.
Okay.
Oh, that's my boss in there. It's trolling me.
That makes two of us.
We got love that play to get to, but let's talk Pacers first. Okay. They win again, so had a good week. They did not have a good game against the Bulls, whatever night that was. I think that was last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. But outside of that, took care of business against Memphis and against a really bad Minnesota team and an Orlando team that's given up. But still, Jake, as you mentioned, it's not their fault, right? Clearly, they want to make the playoffs. They're not trying to tank. They're a game behind the Knicks. I think they're two back in the win column of the Knicks with where they are today. We're taping this on Monday. They don't play again until Tuesday against the Clippers when you're going to be viewing this. And a little bit of a tougher stretch here schedule-wise because I'm looking at it here and Houston's terrible, but L.A. and Utah, Atlanta's in the playoff mix in the East. So they do have a couple of tough games until things get really light. Oklahoma City, Detroit, Orlando to end the month here. I think you're right. I'll just go ahead and say this. I'd be really surprised if the Pacers weren't a playoff team.
I think the challenge for the Pacers, Derek, is who are they exactly? You know,
a mediocre basketball team.
But here's the thing. They have a good roster. They have talent. I think Jeremy Lamb is a really good off-the-bench player that is a mid-range scorer in the NBA and can score, you know, can give you 20 on nights if you need it. The same could be said for McDermott. I think Malcolm Brogdon's a really heady, multi-dimensional Swiss Army knife type player. Miles Turner's a very good defensive big man. Obviously, Sabonis is dynamic offensively in terms of his ability. You know, he's got great footwork on the low post. He's a double-double machine. And you go down their bench, Aaron Holiday is as good a number three guard as you find in the league. I mean, typically they're – their third point guard or their second point guard are guys like Mitchell Butler and, you know,
I hear you,
you know, et cetera. But Earl Watson, guys like that. The problem is with all of those players and all of that talent, which isn't what to me is the issue. It's just who are they exactly? Who is their guy?
They don't have one.
Who is their get out of the way, game's on the line, this guy's taking over guy?
No, blank.
They're offensively speaking, they go through who?
I mean, I guess they want LeVert to be that guy, but
Sabonis?
It's not. I guess.
If you are playing against Indiana, you know as the opponent that you better be ready for them to do what?
I think you have to.
Are they a defensive team? Are they an offensive team? Are they a three-point shooting team? What are they?
A lot of what I – well, I mean, and you saw it last night. Well, I say last night, Sunday night against Memphis. They like to get out and run. I think they're the number one fast break offense in the entire league, which is crazy considering who, you know, the last era of who they had as head coach and their offensive scheme when it comes to that. But I think really what you're thinking about if you're an opposing coach with Indiana is how to kind of game plan around Miles Turner. You know, as crazy as it sounds, but, you know, that's the person that I worry about. It's, you know, Sabonis doesn't keep me up at night. Sabonis will get his, but I think you can take advantage of him on the other end. You don't really know. LeVert is still kind of working his way back. Warren is another guy who's kind of a wild card who obviously is not going to play for the rest of this year, but you don't know quite what you have there. But if you look back in the 21st century, because that's really when this trend kind of – to an extent, you've always had to have this in the NBA, but I guess you didn't really have it in the 90s because Reggie Miller was a great player. Reggie Miller was never one of the 10 best players in the NBA. He probably was never one of the 15. In the 21st century, the Pacers teams that have gone deep have had a top 10 guy. You know, Jermaine O'Neal in the 2004 season was one of the 10 best players in the NBA. And there was a stretch there where he was one of the 10 best players in the NBA.
Right.
Paul George, love him or hate him, was one of the 10 best players.
I'll be honest.
For a stretch.
There was a time where Ron Artest was a top 10 or 15 player.
Yeah, probably just, you know, one or two seasons around there. But, yeah, no, your point taken there. I think the Pacers' problem, Jake, is that you're right. You know, their second unit's pretty good, and the starting lineup is pretty good. But a bunch of B and C players are just going to get you B and C results.
Right.
And that's who they are. They're kind of okay. They're kind of an okay basketball team.
Yeah, that to me is their big question, is who are they exactly? I think they have good players, and that's the challenge. Maybe they need to go out and get a guy.
But it's impossible to do that unless you just get lucky.
Understood.
Like the Bucks did. They got lucky with Paul George to an extent. I mean, he was the 10th pick in the draft. Usually drafting 10th, you're not necessarily finding that guy.
What you want is a guy like Reggie Miller that when the game is on the line, he's able to make the big play for you, right? And maybe even possibly become our love that play recipient in a respective week. We talked earlier, by the way, about when I was talking about the Masters and, you know, Japan and leisure. Listen, what is it about like third or fourth generation sometimes where people just maybe the work ethic slips, or that's why businesses oftentimes don't last over 100 years. But Love Heating and Cooling here in Indianapolis, Love Heating and Air Conditioning, has been around since 1920. That's over 100 years. And how have they been able to last that long? Very simple. That is a great product, a knowledge of that product, a dedication to customer service, simply being good folks. I've known these guys my entire life, folks, and I would not steer you in the wrong direction. I can promise you that. Love-HVAC.com is the website, 317-353-2141. I can't tell you how many people have told me, man, I'm so glad that I called up Love Heating and Air, whether it be at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had an Indy 500 winner that called me once in the dead of winter. So who are the folks that need to come out here? I'm freezing. Boom. Took care of them. Good to go. Derek, also a satisfied customer.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I don't need to just kind of airdrop in an Indy 500 winner called me.
That's right. Texted me, actually. I didn't call.
Texted me. Yeah. Said, hey, buddy. You know, I don't need to. First off, I have that happen to me a lot. Not just with Indy 500 right. winners, but national champions and MVPs and things like
really?
That.
Really?
I mean, yes. In fact, I have a text message from a guy that is a Hall of Famer that's on here right now. Well, I just needed a Twitter authentication code, so I have to scroll through. I get a lot of text messages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is the Hall of Famer?
Oh, I just somebody that's in here. I don't want to display who I talk
what
to.
What sport?
Baseball.
A baseball
Actually,
Hall of Famer?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's not Pete Rose.
No.
He has a big announcement coming Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. He does?
It's not bad news.
Really?
I don't know.
Where'd you see that?
Do you do any prep work at all?
Pete Rose has a big announcement. I didn't see anything about Pete Rose.
By the time people are watching this, Pete Rose will have already made his announcement. And I mean, honestly,
Pete
I don't
Rose.
Know. I hope it's not bad news. I mean, he's 80 years old.
When Pete Rose, this is all him sliding. Now, can we let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Ugh. Pete Rose watches the pitch go by at Wrigley Field in 1970. Okay. I don't see anything in here.
If Pete Rose was in the Hall of Fame, he'd be in your phone.
I just did a Pete Rose search, and I didn't see anything.
Do you have a nominee for Love That Play, Derek?
Yes, I do. Did you see that Miles Bridges dunk?
Yeah.
Whoa. That was pretty sick.
I have my own take on this.
Quint Capella, too. I mean, that's, you know, that's no slouch.
But
it's,
here's the thing.
It's one thing if you dunk
so
on
Miles
T.J. McConnell.
Bridges, we can reenact this right here. Miles Bridges got the ball.
No, you're not dunking on me on the show.
State player,
no.
And he's going down the lane, and he – but just stay right there.
You can dunk on my chair. I have pride. So
he went all the way back.
Yeah.
Have you seen the TikTok video of the 8-year-old kid that's doing all the dunks in his kitchen?
No.
On a Nerf hoop? It looks like you.
I've done that before.
Bridges
not
went
on TikTok.
I mean, all the way back, mm-hmm. right? Like as far as you can go.
Yep.
This way.
Okay.
And then – where are you going?
I don't want you. I'm not going to get dunked on.
Like
right. you'll save the clip and then use it as like a GIF or whatever.
But here's the thing. And it was a spectacular play, and the announcers lost their mind.
They blew a 5-point lead with 3 minutes left, though. They lost that game.
I've never understood why people, when a guy dunks like that, and the defender comes up and is trying to block it, and then people are like, oh, man, in his face. I've got a lot of respect for a guy
that goes. Oh, for sure.
That,
yeah. Better than you than me.
You've got a 6'8", 265-pound freight train coming down the lane, and you're willing to stand in the middle of the lane and hold your ground and try to get a charge for your team?
Patrick Ewing, why
do we knock people like that?
My favorite player ever, Patrick Ewing, got viciously dunked on several times. Scottie Pippen, the Jordan dunk.
Yeah.
That's just bulls.
I mean,
Pippen's dunk was ferocious.
But why do we knock on that as opposed to commend somebody who's willing to stand there?
I mean,
their ground?
I just, you know, it's like in football when some, and we do this less now with the concussion stuff, but somebody get laid out and you'd say, oh my God, you know, what a hit. And then the person would bounce up. And I'd always kind of feel like, well, if the guy bounced up like that, we should probably commend him for taking the hit and bouncing back up again.
Right.
I mean, my God, with what he just went through. But I thought that Miles Bridges dunk was the dunk of the year, I think, so far in the NBA.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Do you want to do Beiter Bolschoetz next?
We'll do that. Also, something that used to not be important in my life that is now extremely important to me.
Me?
No. You've always been important in my life.
Yeah, okay.
We're best friends.
Sure.
So that has remained constant.
Something that used to not be important in your life that now is.
Yeah, that you don't have. Okay. And you'll probably, I don't know if you'll ever have it.
Okay.
I mean, I guess somebody that's in your life might have it and might care. And then you might care if you ever moved in with this person. But we'll touch on that.
Right.
Sorry. Does that, I know you don't like to dig into your personal life.
Is this where we'll get that in post.
No, because I don't care. I want to dig into your personal life. I think there's a lot of good details in there that we can share on the show, get a lot of viewership. It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network. Stick around.
We're a different breed, aren't we? While others rest, we choose to work. Where others are content, we stay hungry. They may not see us coming, but we know exactly where we're going. You won't rest until you succeed. Neither will we.
You can't get enough of us.
You can't get enough of us. Good one, J-Man.
This is the worst scandal. This might
this
even
is
be
worse than steroid. Not so fast.
Are you going to watch the XFL?
I'll probably watch a little bit of it.
You want to go through and pick some games?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Oh my God!
We are ripping fast today.
How hard can it be, right?
These are now selling for about $3,500. So we're back to our old ways of pulling rocks.
Act like idiots on camera, open cards, and talk about the hobby.
Back for final time, it's Corey and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network.
And Derek, we never know. It might actually be the final time.
Oh, no. It's not going to be.
We said that before on the radio program.
Well, we don't have soulless corporate overlords here at ISC Sports Network.
That are getting a $42 million bonus?
The person that makes the call on that is literally like 10 feet from
you. Well, you never know.
Yeah. No, well, that's not going to happen. It's been a worthwhile partnership for everybody involved.
Okay.
And I actually – actually, no, I'm not going to say that on the air.
What's that?
I have a phone call later today, which I have to loop you in on as well, for something related to the name of the show. But we have to get a lawyer involved.
Well – what time is this phone call taking place? Because I'm taking it now.
Oh, no. I'm going to take the phone call because I kind of represent Corey and Schultz's interests.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of taken that upon myself because I basically do all the work. I launched the website. I did the partnership with ISC Sports Network. I was the one that reached out to Greg to do that. I help sell sponsorships to the show. I talk to our sponsors still and have regular conversations with them, including ones that aren't even active right now, like Larry from Keystone Sports Review. So I basically do everything. I do the prep.
Mm-hmm.
I basically do everything on the show. You just kind of show up and have some chocolate milk and hang out for an hour and a half.
Good work if you can get it.
That's basically what you do. We got Beiter Bowl Bleep here coming up in just a second, but that thing that I was teasing poorly, because, you know, that's not – I'm gifted in many areas. I'm not very gifted with teases. We had 48 straight hours of rain, basically, in Indianapolis over the weekend, which sucks on a weekend, right? But I was thinking to myself, my grass has come in just gorgeously this year. This is the best my lawn is. I've never cared about my lawn. In the sense that, you know, like with Chateau Kitchens, we've had so many home projects going on inside of the house that I haven't really concerned myself with what was going on outside of the house. So it's not that I've completely mailed it in. Like I regularly cut the grass and maintain it. But we just haven't had it like landscaped or seeded or sprayed. I still do.
Okay.
Well, it's a smaller plot. In Midtown, we don't have big sprawling properties.
Nobody says Midtown. I've lived through my whole life. Nobody says Midtown.
Yeah, everybody says Midtown now, except for non-trendy people. And you don't have a lawn because you have a two-bedroom apartment where you live alone. Shannon's got a big backyard, right? Does she have somebody?
5 acres.
Does she have somebody come and mow that? Yeah. Do they have the big ride-on mowers?
Oh, yeah.
So I have the little electric one, but we finally paid to have somebody come and spray it and treat it, and I've been like religiously watering it. Like last year at the end of the season, I did it, like starting with the pandemic, I was like, okay, my lawn looks like crap, I want to fix it, let's pay somebody to come out and I'll do everything that they tell me to do. And I've done that, and this year it's amazing. It looks like the 18th green in Augusta.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not as good as Lauren's lawn, but it's close.
As whose?
There's a woman on my block, Lauren, who her lawn is just immaculate.
Does she do it?
Yeah. And I think she's married, but I never really see her husband, but she's always out tending to the lawn.
She's got a green thumb.
Yeah.
My mom was an unbelievable gardener. Still
my mom
is
too, yeah.
My parents' backyard
They're
was
best
like
friends,
cypress
so that's,
gardens
that's
growing
the reason.
Up.
Yeah. I don't know if they talk gardening together.
My buddy Rob, I won't say his last name to protect him here, but when we were either high school or college, he got a job as with a landscaping company and showed up for work one day, and they said, yeah, your time's done here. We're moving on. What are you talking about? You're fired. I said, what do you mean I'm fired? And they said, well, people pay really good money to have their yard sprayed, and you are the yard sprayer. And you go into somebody's yard and you spray their entire yard with weed killer instead of grass fertilizer, that's a bad look. And he said, you've got me confused. That would have to be somebody else. And they said, well, you also were not spraying the yards in the fashion in which you were supposed to, walking it perpendicularly or whatever it might be. And he said, that's got to be somebody else. You got the wrong person. And I said, well, let's go look at it. So they drove to the client's house where in huge lettering in his front yard, it spelled out Rob in dead grass.
Oh, my God.
Dead grass.
So that's how he sprayed the pattern that he sprayed it every time.
He sprayed his name, but he accidentally did it with weed killer and killed all the grass. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, you are correct in the fact that Shannon has a beautiful property and there is somebody else that comes in and does that.
Now, if you ever were to, let's say, be there full time, would you take care of it or would you just keep up the arrangement? I didn't know if you'd like hop on one of those ride-on mowers or anything like that.
I think we both know the answer to that now, don't we?
Do you do anything? Like, do you wash? Like, have you washed a dish before? Washed a sock in the laundry?
Funny you mention that. My two favorite things to do are dishes and laundry.
Okay, so you do that.
Well, in the dishwasher, but yes.
Oh, see, I like to hand wash.
I mean, I hand wash to get it ready and then in the dishwasher.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm proud of you.
I love doing laundry.
Yeah. Because I've known you for a long time, and like I said, we're best friends, but like it's rare where I've seen you do actual work.
I did.
I didn't know.
I did buy one of the little robotic floor sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about that.
Those things, I've heard that they never work. Does that actually?
That may be possible.
Well, I mean, for your apartment, it'll probably work. People buy them for like their house, and there's no chance that one of those things would clean a whole house, I wouldn't think.
I have no idea.
They're expensive, aren't they?
Couple
bills?
Yeah, a couple bills.
Yeah.
But I had I have hardwoods now, so I bought it for that, and then you can control it, you know, remotely with an app and whatever else.
Nice. Yeah.
We'll see if it works.
Come a long way. Worth a shot.
It's like
time for
Jetsons.
Bite or Bowl Bleep. Brought to you by our friends at the Shop Indy, theshopindy.com, Clay Terrace, also in Broad Ripple.
920
right on
Broad Ripple Avenue.
You can go into the brick and mortar stores to get what you want, or you can just obviously order online. I actually picked out the shirts today because Rake couldn't make it in today, so I kind of tried to do something seasonal with spring
shirts.
We're a month away from opening day for the Indians, a month away for the Indy 500. I just love Marshes, so I chose that one. And then I did the Reggie 31 because the Pacers are still.
You know, the former Marshes that are at 62nd and Keystone?
Mm-hmm.
They've been.
It's like half of it's going to be a church now, right?
Well, it's been. They've been trying to convert that to a church since 1938.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, whenever Marsh closed, was it 2 years ago? I mean, it was like a week
it's
later.
Been longer than that now.
It was not long after that when they announced that this mega church was going in at 62nd and Keystone. And now it's just a fenced-off, dilapidated building.
I think most of the other Marshes, I know the one up by Castleton Mall, half of it became an Aldi. And
correct.
Then the one in Nora, half of it became an Aldi.
Correct.
Right across the street from Big Lug and the Steak and Shake.
It should be Hafty.
Excuse me?
It's not Aldi, it's Hafty.
I'm not following.
You said half of it became an Aldi. That's a Hafty.
No, like half of the Marsh building
I know,
was but, converted into an Aldi.
Well, Hafty, because it's half the building.
Okay. Here's what we do, or bite or bull believe. I give a statement, then Jake and I go.
They're wildly thrilled with this segment.
Yeah. I was worried about it being post-college basketball season and football season, you know, what we would do on this
Well,
show.
It's a sleep deprivation Monday, too.
And it's answering that question.
Okay.
Statement one, it's better for the Pacers to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bull Schultz on that. I love the Pacers, and I love postseason basketball in Indianapolis and everything that comes with it. But in a year anyway, when you can't have packed houses, I've been to a game, and it was just odd being in there. Just punt. Get a great pick. Punt.
I've universally answered this question with yes, better to make the playoffs. Like, remember last year? It was the bubble, and you kind of felt like, hey, it's up for grabs, and they
Correct.
Were playing well.
They did play
or
well.
Or a couple of years ago, they had a 45-win team that you thought was going to be pretty good, and then they, of course, got swept in both of those years. This year, though, this team, it's not going anywhere. And you're going to get fed to the Wolves, especially if you get Philly or Brooklyn. Then you're in real trouble.
Who?
Brooklyn.
Thank you.
So, no, it would not be better for the Pacers to make the playoffs, but they absolutely are going to make the playoffs and lose probably to one of those teams. Then again, they're only four out of, like, the 4-5.
I know.
It's going to be tough. They've really put themselves in a bad spot.
They're 10.5 back right now, and I think 8.5 back gets you into, like, the 5 spot.
Oh, they're not that far back from the 5 spot. They're like 4.5 back. I'm saying they're 1 back from the playoffs, and they're like 4 back of the 4 seed.
What I'm saying is they're 10.5 back of the 1 seed.
Yeah.
And the 4 seed is, I think, what, 8.5 back?
No, it's like 4. Let me look up the standings again. They're like 4 games. Atlanta, I think, is the 4 seed, and they're barely over 500.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Again, the Pacers are 10.5 back of the 1 seed.
Yeah.
The 4 seed is how many games back of the 1 seed? 8.5 back?
Oh, I haven't been paying attention.
So, in other words, the Pacers are 2 games.
Yes, the 4 seed is 7.5 back of
okay,
the
1
seed.
Okay, so they're 3 games off of the 4 seed.
Yes. They're 3 off of the 4 seed. Because the 1, 2, 3 are basically set in stone. Jake, nobody says it like that, though. Like, you were talking about who cares how far back Atlanta is from the 1 seed.
Because it gives you an idea of what – it's just like golf. If you're looking at golf and you're 12 under, and the guy that's in third place is 6 under, you're like, okay, well, you're only six
Pacers,
off of third place.
But the Pacers aren't trying to get to 1. They're trying to get to 4.
Understood, but it gives you the barometer.
Well, I just gave you the barometer. I told you they were 4 back of the 4, and then you were like, well, they're 8.5.
They're not.
I'm like, well, no,
they're not 4 back of the 4. You just said they're 3.
Well, they're like – I said like 4 back. Like gives me a little bit of wiggle room. Sorry, I didn't look up the NBA standings like this morning.
I was simply clarifying the statistic that you were saying by giving the exact numbers that proved within range what you were saying.
I think one of the problems on this show, and there were some problems, it may be hard to believe, it's been so successful – is that you kind of muddy the water sometimes for viewers
okay.
or for listeners with things that they don't understand, like verbiage or math or anything like that.
Okay.
That people don't understand.
Verbiage.
Yeah.
I think it's just verbiage, isn't it?
No, actually, you add a little I in there and it makes it sound a little bit more impressive.
Okay, so who's the one adding the extraneous?
Statement two, instant replay should be dumped in Major League Baseball. They've had a lot of problems.
I don't know that I watch enough baseball to be able to accurately
Did you
say
see
that.
What happened on the Sunday night game?
Was that
the slide into home plate?
Yeah, that was
yeah. cool. Phillies Braves. To me, there was a definitive angle that showed he did not touch home plate.
Correct.
And they still left it. And I think one of the problems is that you have umps reviewing other umps.
You know what? Let me ask you this when it comes to plays at the plate or runners in general. Is there an understood rule in baseball that
you don't truck the catcher anymore?
Well, no. If you're coming into second, mm-hmm. you're sliding, you're trying to steal. I'm the second baseman. I've got my glove down. If my glove is in between your leg and the bag, is there an understood rule that I don't have to actually physically touch you? Because the number of times that I see a guy swipe his glove through.
Like ghost tag, yeah.
And the runner lifts his leg up and he is never touched by the mitt. And then he slides through and his other foot comes across on the bag and he's called out. And I'm like, well, he's not out. He was never touched. Yeah, I mean, granted, the mitt was there.
I think in baseball, too, the bang-bang plays are really difficult. You know, they defensive are. Umps. I think ball strikes are a little bit, you know, there's less room for error there. But some of that stuff, like stealing second base, sometimes it's impossible to
tell it's
in
boom,
live
boom.
Time.
You're right.
Yeah, if a guy tagged or not. But when you have replay, you know, I've always been a proponent of replay because I think you need to have it to correct egregious mistakes. I think the problem is that too often – you have peers reviewing peers, and they don't want to step on any toes. You need to have somebody that's impartial that reviews that replay. Right. Obviously, somebody that knows the rules, but maybe like a retired umpire, a retired official.
I mean, replay has gotten a little bit ridiculous because it's become too relied upon.
Yeah.
In all sports.
Like in basketball.
Basketball, it's terrible.
If you missed 0.4 seconds and there's 17.4 instead of 17.8 on the clock, who cares? Please right. don't shut down the game for 20 minutes for 0.4 seconds. You know right. what I mean? Like, that's where I have a problem. But with critical calls, I want them to get it right. But if you look at it five times and you can't see within five times that it should be overturned, then don't overturn it. I think sometimes they see what they want to see.
Now, every once in a while, they get it right. Like, for example, the Justin Ross play against Ohio State with Clemson and Ohio State. Incomplete pass. They got it right.
That was
Buckeye tears.
That was and you know me. I do not like. I'm like you. I do not like Ohio State nor their fans. That was not the right call.
Okay.
Yeah, that was not the right call. It's kind of like that play.
Still,
do you remember that play?
They still have plenty of chances, Derek.
Ravens and Colts this year. There was an interception where the guy, the cornerback, I don't remember who it was for Baltimore. I think like basically had the ball for one step and it fell right out. And if that was a receiver. You would have never called that
a catch. The worst one.
You would have never called that a catch.
The worst one where I was like, what? And I know that this is not the popular place to say it, but brace yourself, Indianapolis. Troy Polamalu intercepted Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Where he caught it, rolled three times, got up, ran for 10 yards, and then lost it.
I mean, that was an interception.
Yeah, that's where it felt like
And I'll always give Troy Polamalu credit.
I don't know if the fix was in or what.
Because the second that I always thought this was cool. When they overturned that, and I mean, you could tell in the RCA Dome, everybody in there is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they overturned that. Of course, they were happy. But when they overturned that, Troy Polamalu reached over, grabbed his helmet, threw it on, and ran right back out. No questions asked.
Yeah. No, he was.
I thought it was cool.
He was a good pro. Statement three. Formerly your boy.
Dare I say he was head and shoulders above most?
And I don't know. Okay. We're good on that. I don't know if he's anybody's boy right now, considering kind of the firestorm that he's found himself in. But Deshaun Watson will not take an NFL snap this season. Bide or bull bleep.
Man. I'm going to buy that, Derek, because if this stuff goes to trial, Deshaun Watson may well be innocent. He may be guilty. I don't know. The allegations against him are mounting, and they are to the point where you'd say, man, there's got to be.
Two dozen, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some fire to the smoke, right? It's a very bizarre situation because of the, you know, here's the chicken and egg theory. With this, that's fascinating. Did Deshaun Watson suddenly overnight become adamant and insistent that he needed out of Houston and away from the Texans because he knew what was about to come down about him within that city? Or did Deshaun Watson decide that he wanted out of Houston because he wanted to change his scenery professionally speaking, and then that city and the Texans decided to smear him with false allegations? That seems very hard to imagine, but that's the allegation from his attorney. I think just based on the fact that it appears as though certainly civically and likely criminally he is going to have to go to trial, I don't know that he takes a snap anywhere until that is resolved.
Yeah, and with the personal conduct policy, it doesn't always matter if you're found guilty or not. It's just if you brought a stain to the NFL. I'm still not willing to go that – I don't think we're that far down the road yet to say, okay, the whole season's wiped out. I think he's definitely facing some sort of a suspension regardless of what happens from here. But it's one of those things, Jake. It's impossible. You know, it's April, what, 12th when we're taping this? I mean, it's really kind of impossible to say what's going to come of this because kind of like you, I have no idea what to think. You could convince me that this is a complete – blackmail railroad thing, and you can convince me that he's the biggest creep in the world and he's been doing this all over Houston.
Right.
You know, nothing would shock me at this
point. We don't know.
I have no idea.
It's true in life, Derek. Oftentimes we find out we don't know who we thought we knew.
No. Yeah, you're right about that. Also, regardless of how rich, famous, whatever you are, guys can be creeps. Like I said, I don't know if he's guilty or not, but
right.
Guys can be creeps. IndyCar, I wanted to end on that real quick. The season's starting. You're traveling, which is
correct. Leave for Alabama at the end of the
week.
You
only did what, like two races last year?
Last year, correct. I went to Gateway and I went to Mid-Ohio.
But you're full time traveling now.
Yes, again. I'm the only turn announcer that will be on site.
Yeah.
And then so that's good. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I'll miss not having those guys there because we've had a lot of fun.
Will you hang with will Janes get sent?
No, Mark Janes and Nick Yeoman will be back here, and then I'll be on site.
So the entire radio crew, so anybody in the pits or just
Ryan Marine and Michael Young will be on site in the pits.
Okay, so you'll have somebody to hang out with in the traveling part.
Correct.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be an interesting year because you have some guys changing teams. And then at Indy, they could have, you know, upwards of maybe 36 cars. I was out at the Speedway last week for the test, and it felt like a May practice day. It was beautiful outside. There were 30-some cars on the track. I mean, it was cool. Boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, Scott Dixon's amazing. Will he be able to get yet another championship? That would be remarkable. I've said for a long time that I still feel like eventually the numbers are going to play out to where I think Alexander Rossi is a generational talent. And he's going to have to get a championship at some point. And I think I'll say this year is the year he does it.
Well, we'll see if there's a hard correct because last year, everything that could have gone wrong for him went wrong. So we'll see if it goes the other way.
You're right about that.
Where he actually does have some good luck. But I'm really intrigued to see what Jimmy Johnson does on
the road
Johnson streets.
Yeah, Johnson will be interesting.
And I'm interested. You know, it's been such a weird, like almost like a purgatory for James Hinchcliffe. The last 3, 4, 5 seasons, and he has the horrific accident, and now he's back with Andretti to see it kind of come full circle because he was a guy that, Jake, 5, 6 years ago, we thought, oh, he's going to be one of the faces of the sport, and while he's remained relevant, don't get me wrong, it never really materialized for him because of his ride situation being constantly in flux.
You know, there are some promising young drivers, rookies in the field as well. First three races, Alabama, St. Pete, and then Texas before you come to Indy. So an oval before Indy, which could play interestingly into factor with 500.
I'm glad. Give everybody a warm-up and kind of get all the heebie-jeebies out.
Correct.
Yeah. Sorry. Did I say heebie-jeebies on the show? That's a little weird.
I don't know. Is it?
Heebie-jeebies is more like
cooties?
Well, no, it would work. No, it's not like ew. Heebie-jeebies is more like there's – you know, my basement water heater gave me the heebie-jeebies, you know.
Well, you had a troll living under it, right?
I did. Yeah, that was legit. There was a troll that was living back there. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was. Yeah.
Did the people that bought your parents' house, are they aware of the troll that lived behind the space heater?
I don't know if they told them that. I think my dad wanted to maximize the value that he extracted out of that house, so I don't think he said anything.
Okay. Fair enough.
So check us out, ISCSportsNetwork.com, YouTube.com/ Corey and Schultz, CoreyandSchultz.com. Also, the podcast as well. You can listen to us. You might already be doing that. I don't know. iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeart, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. We're available.
iHeart still
everywhere.
Hearts us?
Yeah, that channel's still alive. Okay. And it's part of our RSS feed, so we still feed into there.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I don't know if we're contractually allowed to. That contract basically is over now, right? So we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the lawyer. call. Okay. I'll loop you in on everything that we talk about.
Yeah, you let me know on that.
I will.
All right.
Thanks to our crew, Greg Mash, Jordan Shue, and we will see you next time here on Query and Schultz. Bye-bye.
Indiana Dairy Farm, long work days stretch into more labor after sunset. A newborn calf needs watching, barn needs cleaning, tractor needs some handiwork for tomorrow's tasks. Just like in your own home, the day's chores are never done until the family beds down for the night. Dairy farmers and their families share the same dream with all of us, that what we all do is worthwhile. Bringing to market pure, safe, and healthy dairy foods is what they do, from Indiana's dairy families to ours every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.